Good morning, everyone. My name is Trevor. I'm part of the charitable giving team, and I'm sorry to Kelty and Vince and Josh, but when they realized we were going live, they said, "Who's the prettiest person we've got?" And that's how I got the gig. I know that's killing at home, so that's awesome, because it only got like a mild guffaw here, so it will be, that was a killing at home piece. Part of the piece that we really want to say when we're talking about charitable giving this morning is just thank you. Really, thank you. We have a lot of our community, a big part of our community is pre-authorized giving, and that's critical. Like right now, to have a budget and be able to do this thing, to make sure the spiritual gym keeps going, you could see even this morning, with all the changes that are going on in everybody's life, we want to keep the gym looking as much like we could, so you'd have a place that was like safe and comfortable and just felt like the right place to come for a workout. If you're new to Friends Church, or if you maybe haven't donated in a while and you're thinking, maybe this is an opportunity, the same site that you're on to find where the podcast is, click up to the right corner and you can donate. And we would appreciate that. It's really awesome. It keeps us going and you know, keeps the gym open. And you know what? We also realize that this is a really unusual time for a lot of people. And maybe you're not feeling that, maybe this just isn't right. There's no guilt. There's no shame. We still want you to come to the gym. This is really, really important. I miss you all, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again. So let's just make sure that we keep working out so that when we get back together, we're all in really good shape. Jeff?
Thanks, Trevor. So just want to let you know about a few things. So, okay, my phone is ringing off the hook. People are saying, nah, the audio, this isn't working. Okay, bear with us. This is kind of a lot of learning going on right now. We're so grateful for this team that are doing this, and we're going to get it figured out. We'll have it, the wrinkles worked out next week, and it'll just get better and better. So bear with us in the meantime, all right? So we're learning how to work, to live, to exist as a community in this new frontier. And I'm already starting to see signs of the virtual life emerging, surfacing. I was watching online through our women's group. I think it's Shaylin. She's starting up a book club. And so a virtual book club, everyone joining in, reading and weighing in together. These kind of things are happening. Vince is leading a group all online through Zoom. You're going to see this more and more. I would encourage you to be checking into our Facebook page, into our Instagram, onto our website. We're going to keep you guys up to date. We're right in the middle of a big app upgrade. And that's going to take a little while, but when that comes online, it's going to blow you away. You'll be able to watch all our messages right off of our app, live, like video, everything. So cool. Cool stuff coming up. A couple initiatives that I want you to be aware of. One is a Friends Helping Friends initiative. So we have a Facebook page called Friends Helping Friends, led by Vonda Lee of our community. She came up with this idea of raising money to help families that are in dire financial need. In light of COVID-19, not being able to produce any kind of income, that are struggling to put food on the table, we want to respond to that. So she sourced a local food supplier who can put together hampers at like less than half the cost of what it would cost us to go to the store and put it all together. They're putting together in safe sanitary packages. They can do it for $100, and what $100 buys is amazing. And so we are in the process of ordering. I think we've put on order 20 hampers. If you'd like to be a part of this, you can do it two ways. Number one, you can give to this. You can just go to our website, click on donate, click local water, and every dime that you give toward that will go toward these hampers that are going to be distributed. Another way you can help is by helping us find people who are really in need. And so if you know of someone, if you know of a family, you need to reach out to us. You can reach out to me, Jeff at Friends Church, Vonda Lee. Her email and everything is on our social media page. You can find her. She's like the most direct link to getting the resources where they need to go. So anyways, I wanted to tell you about that. And I want to tell you about a series that we're starting up in 2 weeks. So we're right in the middle of the Trouble with Love series, relationships. Vince is going to kick off our second part right away here. But in 2 weeks, we're launching a series we've called Apocalypse. And it's all about finding our new normal in this time, in this crazy time. Talking about things that, and wrestling with what this means, what it looks like to continue in the spiritual journey in the midst of upheaval. How to hold ourselves in this time. Manage our relationships, but manage our own emotions and physical health. Managing our spiritual journey in a very intentional way when schedules and routines, everything have been upended. We are not the first that has ever experienced this. Our spiritual ancestors had this happening again and again. We have so much we can learn from them. So that is a series that you'll hear more about in the next week or so on all our social media channels as well. So you'll want to tune in. All right, that's all I got. I told you earlier that Vince was sick. He'll explain in a lot more detail here in a minute, but glad you've tuned in. Enjoy Vince's message. See you next week.
Morning, welcome to Friends Church. This might be a bit strange because I am actually not here with you this morning. I woke up a day ago with a head cold. A head cold normally would be no big deal, but today, in this day and age, it's a big deal. So after consulting with AHS and going through their self-diagnostic tool 5 times, sometimes by myself, sometimes with someone else, I have no fever, I have no sore throat, and I have no cough. I just have a runny nose. So they're not recommending I self-quarantine, but we wanted to be especially careful, so we decided to keep me as isolated as I could, or as we could. So I have one brave tech here who's with me, and we've sanitized everything that I've touched through the whole morning. But we're going to record this, and you guys are going to see it live tomorrow morning. So, I don't know about you, but right now, the amount of change, the amount of stuff going on, it's just chaos. Feels like every day this week, something has changed, something has moved, something has had to be figured out. Just the time of life we're in, and with the situation we're in right now, it's huge. And the reality is, I don't know that our brains are designed to work with that much chaos, at least not optimally. And I don't know about you, but I find myself short with people. My temper is kind of on edge. The other day, someone was chewing a bit loud, and I was like about to lose my mind on them. We're just not at our best. And that's why I think this message today is so apropos, because this message is about how do we handle the moments when we're not at our best. Oh man, it was probably many years ago now. We were 2 offices ago, so Friend Church was in 2 different spaces way back when. I just started. And my job was to do a bunch of video work. And video, I don't know if you know, but video takes a tremendous amount of work. Back in those days, it rarely worked well. So what seemed like a 4-hour project turned into a 20-hour project. So I was here late at night, working long hours, tired, cranky, kind of a lot like right now. And so one of my colleagues, a woman that I love, and you know, is still a good friend of mine, comes up to me and says, "Hey Vince, there's a project I want you to do. It's for me and my kids." My brain kind of just goes blank, like, you seriously want something from me now too? Like, I haven't been home in a normal hour in weeks. Like, screw this. And so I'm trying to be polite and saying like, hey, no, I'm sorry, I can't help you out. And she just kept grinding me. And I, again, this is my memory, but looking back, I think she was just passionate. She cared. All I could hear was, Vince, we want more from you, and we want you to just keep giving and giving, and we don't care. I still remember we were in our office. I'm kind of backing. I can even feel myself backing away to my office, trying to get away from her. And she keeps coming like, Vince, I need you to do this. I'm like, hey, I don't know if it's going to work out. Finally, she pushed one time too hard and I said, I don't give a shit about you or your kids. And just like that, this dead silence between us. And I could just feel my words and the hurt that they caused is like this big stain. Why did I say that? I loved her. She's a good friend of mine. I care about her kids. I'm not a horrible person. But in that moment, and in all that was going on, I didn't even know what to do. And so I snapped and I said something that took us years to recover from. Years. And chances are, we've all been there. Someone has pushed us one step too far. Something has happened between us. And suddenly we say something or we do something that it's just not us. And we see the hurt in the other person. We see the damage to the relationship. We find ourselves going, why did I just snap like that? And here's the thing. Right now, there is a lot of chaos in our lives. I have a friend of mine. Her business is one-to-one interaction with clients. She's amazing at what she does. Obviously, right now, her business isn't going anywhere. She has no income. She's locked at home. She's wondering if she's going to pay her mortgage this month. You know, all these different moments in our lives, we're looking around at all the different changes and the things that are going on and going, what do we do? And it's just coming out in the way we treat the people we love. We're short. We're snap. I don't give a shit about you and your kids. Feels like the whole city is right on the edge. Maybe the whole world's right on the edge. And there's a story from our spiritual ancestors that I think speaks to this moment, and it can guide us through this time. It's a story about two brothers. One's named Cain, one's named Abel. And the story is pretty convoluted, and I'd have to give you a ton of background, so just let me go with this. They're doing a ceremony that in their minds will ensure a positive future. So it's a religious ceremony, and if it goes well, everything's going to turn out in their lives. So Abel does his ceremony. It goes beautifully. His life just starts to like up and to the right. You know, he's the guy holding Netflix stock right now, just like getting better and better and better. His kids are healthy. He's healthy. His wives, in those days, wives is the right term. His wives are doing all the good things that wives do. Everything is good, looking good for him. But Cain, on the other hand, the brother, does the same ceremony, and it doesn't go well. And his life gets worse and worse and worse. Just the amount of chaos that this guy goes through at the beginning is just insane. And so here we have this moment of two brothers. One who has everything going good for them. One who's struggling. One who who gets tested for the virus and is clean and they're fine. The next one is locked in the house for the next 2 weeks. One person can easily work at home. The next person's company is shutting down because there's no way they can work from home. You see how it goes? This moment of like insane threat and unfairness and like his life's just crap. And so Cain does what many of us would maybe do. He looks up to the sky and like the old man in the sky conception of God and gives him like the, screw you, why is this happening to me? And the story reads that this is what God says to him. And again, this is the character in the story. So this is what the author's thinking. The author says to the character of God in the story, he says, Cain, it's your own fault, buddy. You're a screw up. Nothing good is ever going to come from you. Talk about kicking a guy when he's down, huh? It's brutal. And Cain's sitting there watching his life just get worse and worse and worse while his brothers gets better and better and better. And then he looks up to the sky and asks God, like, what is going on with all this chaos? And God basically says, yeah, screw you. You're on your own. And the story reads that something in Cain snaps. He invites his brother out to his fields one day. And without preamble, the story doesn't really say what's going on. But basically, he invites him out and it says, and Cain killed his brother Abel. And when I first read that story, you know, all the times I studied, I was like, what is even happening there? But when I started looking at it more than literally, I started to see things like this. How many of us right now, we're not willing to murder somebody, but we're willing to say really hurtful things to people who treat this epidemic in a different way than we feel comfortable with. The person in our lives who's kind of on our nerves, and with all the stress we're dealing with, we don't murder them, but man, we don't treat them the way we want, do we? And so suddenly, the story of Cain and Abel becomes our story. Of what do we do when we are the less than, when we are the people who are experiencing chaos and the people around us are doing so much better? I looked at people reacting to the toilet paper issue, losing their minds. Why do we do this? Why do we snap the way we do? Why when our kid says, when in the moment of kind of the most stress, our kid says, hey, mom, hey, dad, and we're like, what? Where did that even come from? Why when a good friend walks up to me and says, Vince, can you do this favor for me? I say, I don't give a shit about you and your kids when I do. The reason is, it's because our brain's trying to keep us alive. That's why we snap. Sort of. Let me explain how it works. So a guy named Stan Takin, Dr. Stan Takin, a researcher in brain chemistry as it relates to relationships. And he talks about how our brains work in two ways. He uses this metaphor. He calls one part of our brain primitives. I see it as like a bunch of Flintstone-looking characters. You know, with the tie on the side with the side thing. You remember Flintstones? But there are a bunch of people who are like skittish. Like any sound, they're like, oh. This is the sound that when someone claps their hands really loud beside you, suddenly you jump. That's your primitive. And it's literally designed to keep you alive. Our ancestors are in the jungle, right? One of their biggest predators is snakes that live in trees. They eat people or stuff like us. So when our primitives are constantly scanning through our environment going, is that a snake? Is that a snake? Is that a snake? But not even, is that a snake? It's like, I think that's a snake. Run. And you're already running. Whether this snake is there or whether it's a branch that kind of looks like a snake or whether it was a weird shadow that kind of made a snake-like thing, it doesn't matter. Your primitives don't care. All they care about is that you run every time. So there's one part of your brain that's literally designed to keep you alive, but that part, the primitives, they don't care about factuality and they don't care that you run from something that's not actually there a million times as long as you run the one time that's important. Now, these parts of your brain are unbelievably fast. They fire before your brain's even online. That's why when someone makes a loud noise, you jump before you've even registered. There's a loud noise and maybe I should jump. That's your primitives at work. And they're very good at making sure you don't get eaten by snakes and trees. They're really good at that. But they don't really care about anything other than making sure that you see threat. Now, Takin talks about another part of your brain. He calls them the ambassadors. I like to think of them as kind of like a group of like mediator counselor types with some CSI nerds and some really skeptical philosophers. Now, the ambassadors are a really interesting bunch. They're really, really, really slow to come to the party, because they're unbelievably expensive to run in your brain. Think hiring a full legal team. That's kind of like your ambassadors. But here's what the ambassadors do. The primitives fire. Woo! Something's a threat. Run. And you're running down the road, and the ambassadors get called into the party, and the mediators go, hey, primitives, what did you guys see over there? Huh. Okay, we're going to get the CSI nerds to check that out for you, because the skeptics are thinking that may not be a snake. It might be just a branch. So then they do a bunch of research and they test a bunch of things. Then they write a big long report. Then they check it. And then they come back to the primitives and say, yeah, that was a branch. And the primitives are like, oh, good. Whew. Okay, we can relax. Whoa, another threat. Run. But you see, the entire time between when your primitives fire, when you call up the ambassadors, when they do their analysis, when they write their report, when they come back down, that entire time, your primitives are running the show. And your primitives don't care about your relationships, your primitives care that you don't die. Now you see why we snap at people when we don't want to? Because I know, in my life anyway, there's not a lot of big tree snakes that live in my neighborhood. Not really something I have to worry about, right? In fact, I go to the mountains pretty much every weekend. In the last 20 years, I've maybe seen 5 bears. The amount of physical threat that we deal with is basically nil, comparatively. But here's the other thing. Those primitives, they're not just there to worry about physical threat. They also watch for social threat. See that moment with me and my friend? She's pushing to get something from me that I don't know that I have to give. And she's pushing and pushing, and I keep trying to say, hey, look, I can't, I don't know, I don't have time, and it's been busy, and I... And finally comes to the place where it's like, I either have to say no and have her be mad at me, or I have to give into something that I don't want to do, that I don't think I have anything to, I don't have the capacity to deal with. And so I yell the one thing that tries to push her back and get the threat out of my face, because she's the threat. You see, we're social creatures. As babies, if our caregiver disconnects from us, that's the end of our lives. We can't survive on our own as babies. And so part of our brain, those primitives are wired to make sure that us and our parents stay very close together. And anytime there's distance or misattunement, same threat fires. Now you see why we're doing this message right after Jeff's message on islands and waves, right? Because inside of each of us, in my case, half my primitives are named neglect. They are watching for neglect. They are sniffing out neglect. Anytime someone seems to want something from me or obligate me, man, that primitive fires instantly. I remember when I was first married, I told you guys a bit about this, but one of the things that people who struggle with neglect, their primitives are wired to watch, is how close people get to you. When someone gets close to you, if you hug someone like me, we're not warm huggers. We're kind of like, because you being that close to me is hard. I was first married, loved my wife, my ex-wife now, but at the time, my wife. And she would come to me and she'd want to hug me and she'd want to put her face close to my face, which sounds really lovely, right? But my primitives were having none of that. That was a threat and they would fire instantly. And without even knowing it, I would go like this. And I would literally stand with my head back. And it wasn't conscious. It wasn't like, oh, I don't like... No, it was way faster than that. She would come close and my head would instantly go back. And of course, talk about how hurtful that would be to her. She's trying to get close and I'm pulling away. And so then her primitives start firing. And then we have this whole like primitives dance and we just try to kill each other. See how it works? Some of us, our primitives are named neglect. And when someone asks something from us, when we're in our kind of cocooning mode, Jeff called it self-soothing, that's the technical word. If someone yells our name, that feels like neglect. Our primitives are fire. If I'm watching TV and you yell my name from the other room, you're going to get a what? It's not because I'm mad, it's just that feels threatening to me. Closeness feels threatening. Obligation feels threatening. Not being able to go off by myself feels threatening. So right now, any of you who's got neglect in your life right now, you islands, this whole like stuck in a house together with your family or your roommates, not awesome. Your primitives are going to be firing all the time. There's another group of primitives. We call them abandonment. The name we give them is waves. Jeff talked about them. He did a great job of sharing his own story. I remember one time I was divorced. I had a moment where I was single and dating before I met my partner. And I met this cool girl, and she was really fun. And we had some stuff in common and good conversations. And at one point, I remember texting back at the end of a message, or like a back and forth, I said, all the best. And she lost it on me. Lost it. Like, you sorry, I'm never talking to you again. I was like, what just happened here? But you see, her primitives are wired to watch for abandonment. And she said, you say all the best to people you'll never talk to again. What I thought was a nice ending for her triggered her huge. She saw a massive threat. You see, the abandonment primitives in us are always watching for distance. They're watching for tones of voice. They're watching for even eye movement. If you look away from somebody with that primitive too quickly, that will feel threatening to them. Because they're wired to watch for that threat, because again, as a child, if they don't have that connection, they could die. And so here we are, living our lives, trying to be loving to the people around us. And there's a bunch of parts of our brain that fire unbelievably quick that are watching for abandonment or neglect or both. You can understand now why this is a powder keg. Because chaos basically is like taking that group of primitives and poking them with a stick a lot and putting them on a high alert. So we have a hair trigger system who are watching for abandonment and neglect and how people around us are treating us or not treating us. And then we've stirred them into a state of high alert. And they're running our lives. Actually, they're destroying our relationships. We've all been there. We've said something, we've done something that we go, why did I do that? And then we deal with the fallout. Right? The hurt, the disconnection, the fight, the alienation. So how do we fix this? How do we deal with our lives in a way that doesn't have our primitives destroying the people that we love, destroying the relationships in our lives? A couple of really important keys. First, the overall stress level in our lives, we got to keep it as low as we can. Right now, I know. Vince, do you realize what's going on right now? I know. But you know what? There's something we can do. Me and my partner have been taking walks. We live in kind of this little park area. So every night we go for a walk and we see all these other couples walking. We don't get close to anyone. They come to us on the path, we get off and then... But you can tell all of us are trying to find a way to just... We can't control what's going on. So what can we control? I talked to someone I loved recently and said, what would reducing your stress look like? Because, you know, mom, student, wife, you know, employee, her life's just insane. She said, you know what? If I could just have a bath and read a novel for a little while, oh, that would feel so good. Right now, we can choose to focus on all the things that are creating chaos that we can't change. Or we can do the things that calm us. When I haven't been doing good self-care, man, my primitives are running the show bad. I had one day where I hadn't been doing really good care of myself, and I had the laundry basket that I was trying to move, and it got caught on something. And my primitives literally lost their minds, and I grabbed the and I threw it across the room. Because the laundry basket, of course, was neglecting me and not doing what it was supposed to do, right? And then I had to explain to my partner why I just threw the laundry basket across the room. I realized I hadn't been taking good care of myself. What is it? What can you do for self-care? To lower your stress, to stay healthy, sleep, eat. The more we can do there, the calmer our primitives get. And the more chance we have to get those ambassadors in the room. Because, right, they take some time to get there. If we can slow down the primitives, the ambassadors get there and they're going to be like, whoa, hold on a second, time out. And so here's the second thing. A friend of mine says, she says, I tie my shoe. So whenever somebody does something and I'm about to freak out on them, I tie my shoe, which is her way of saying, I bend down and take a second and take a deep breath. And then I say, do I still want to respond the way I was first feeling? Try it. Take a deep breath. Breathe out slow. One more. Breathe right in your belly. Do you feel how your primitives just kind of quiet down? Take a deep breath. Before you're about to snap, before you're about to respond, take a deep breath. Take three deep breaths. And see how that changes things. Next thing I want to bring up is this. Call your ambassadors in immediately. Once the primitives fire, you're still conscious. You can wait for the system to work its way through, and finally the ambassadors, you know, when all hell's broken loose, finally the ambassadors will get the call and they'll come in and start doing the work. But you can also call them in immediately. You do it this way. Someone says, you know, whatever is triggering to you, ask them a question. Hey, is this what you meant? You see how you're bringing the ambassadors in to go, wait, I need to question what's going on here. Because right now, you're a snake and you're about to eat me. But you might be a branch that I'm just running away from. So let's just clarify how much threat you are to me. Invite in the ambassadors in your life. Let them do their job. They do it really well. They're just a little slow. One of the things you can also do is keep yourself well fed. We know that if you don't eat enough, if you're hangry, we have a word for it, hangry. It's kind of like poking your primitives and getting them mad. So there's things you can do that can calm yourself. You can keep your stress level low. Say no to a few things that are going on. You can breathe deeply. You can bring your ambassadors online quicker. The final thing I want you to say, and this is the whole point of this series, to some degree, all of us will have primitives named neglect or abandonment. Knowing what your primitives get triggered by is unbelievably important. Being able to name that trigger is unbelievably important because it slows it down enough for you to say, wait a second, you're not asking me to do a project for you. I'm hearing you say, I don't care about you and I just want to take from you. That's neglect. Oh, that's why I'm freaking out and saying horrible things to you. Once you know your triggers, you can respond better because you know what's going on. So if you haven't done this, Jeff did a fantastic message last week. Go back, listen to it again. It's worth hearing. Know your triggers. Let me end this way. I think we all have some Cain in us, right? At some point, the chaos in our lives will get too much. At some point, something will fire our primitives and we'll lash out in a way that we can never, ever recover from. The story of Cain and Abel has Cain sitting on the ground, weeping, going, how did I get here? I've destroyed my life. I've destroyed my relationships. The people who love me now hate me. I'm a social pariah. This is too great of a burden to carry. And I think the story is a cautionary tale that says, if we let our primitives run our lives, we will be like Cain sitting there going, what have I done? I've destroyed the things that I love the most. I watch myself. You know, my primitives go through my life and, you know, fire with my family, with my partner, my friends. Just the amount of damage that's being done just by those primitives alone, not understanding, not bringing in the ambassadors, not doing self-care. If we could just all lessen the amount of time that our primitives are running our lives, running our relationships, the amount of change, the amount of positive change that would happen, I think would be unbelievable. Think of relationships that you don't have to recover from the thing that you said 10 years ago at that family gathering that one time. My friend and I, it took us years to get over that comment. In fact, it's still, I can still feel it between us. Think of partners who, instead of snapping at each other when all the stress and the chaos is there, no, they go, you know what? I don't know if I agree with you on this, but let's talk about it. Think of the number of little kids who come running up to mommy and daddy, and instead of getting a harsh word, they get a warm hug. And the cycle of neglect and abandonment just doesn't perpetuate itself through our world. We have a choice today to let our primitives run our lives and live like Cain, or to let our ambassadors come in and treat the people we love with the love that we want to give them. I know about you, but I need to focus on that second one, because man, too often, the primitives have run my life. So as you go from here, while you're all at home, take a second, take a deep breath. Say I love you to the person that you is around you that you love. If there's no one there, send a text to somebody. We can behave differently. We know now when our primitives are firing, we can say, hey, primitives, no, not today. And we can love better. Thanks, everybody. I want to encourage you to come next week, 10:30. The live stream will be on the website. Jeff will start talking about a secure way of being in relationship. Because, man, the trouble with love is sometimes we don't do it well. Have a great morning, everybody. See ya.